So the tool asks three broad kinds of questions. The first layer of questions, as we've sort of alluded to earlier, are planning questions. The first point we're still starting from: what are the aspirations of this person? Who are they as a person? What makes them who they are? What's important in their life? Who is important in their life? And we're trying to explore at different ages and stages some things that might be important. The plan level questions are derived from some things that are commonly important at particular life stages. I want to be clear about this. Again, we're in that space of commonly important. Might not be important to the person immediately in front of you, right? We still need to have the conversation that we need to have. We need to be guided by the person and their family about why they've made contact, what's important to them, what's top of mind, and we'll explore our way through that. And look, we'll do a bit of time on each life stage about how do we get to these sets of questions. But the first thing to be clear about is that we've got space to capture and summary the story of the person. What have they told you about what's important to them, the values that they hold dear, the practices that are there, the relationships that shape them, the aspirations they have? There's a reason that in mind maps, some of the mind maps we've got, that's in the center. We're also trying to explore some different elements of what's part of the day and what's part of people's weeks, and some things that have generally, again, generally come up to be important things that we might respond to or invest in at particular life stages. You'll also, many of you will have heard the intention that there be a carer's assessment. At each of the life stages that we've released in this tool, there are a set of questions that are intended to capture at least some of the elements of what's important to family members and sustaining whānau units. So there'll be some questions in there about who is available to us and how can they be more available? How can we support people to be available to us? How do we strengthen the pāharakeke around the whānau that we support? There'll be questions in there about what maintains people's well-being and how can that be more available. If we go to the respite literature and the research, you'll see a number of people saying, hey, look, big breaks are great, but actually waiting for them is quite hard. And, you know, sometimes the disruption of planning for and going on and coming back from sort of counts on the cons column as well as the pros column. There's a lot of stuff in the research there that says actually supporting us to do things that regularly refresh us, that regularly refill us, that enable us to, sometimes it's as practical as staying fit and healthy for some of the lifting that we might do, all those kinds of things. That's in there. There's a question in there. We also are asking about what does a more substantial break look like? It's a common experience that many people are seeking. I want a break to look forward to. And, you know, for many New Zealand families as well, the Kiwi holiday is part of an ordinary life outcome, and that's something that we might explore too. The intention in asking those range of questions is to apply evidence of what we know works in respite really well, come up with a well-balanced approach and plan around how we sustain the role of carers. And those questions you'll see are pretty consistent in the plans across the different life stages we've released for that reason. There's also some overlap with the question around what are harder parts of the day and how can we make those easier? You know, there's sort of been the debate under the flexibility before the change of the purchase rules about doing things that make the day easier. Is that respite or not? I'm not particularly going to try and split hairs with you today. There's a very practical claim made by many. If you make the day easier and you break less often, it's part of a well-balanced strategy as well. So the intention is that those sorts of questions work together to support carers. They're integrated in this. It's deliberate integration at this stage. It's not because we want to hold space through this process for the concerns of carers and families. At the same time, especially at those younger life stages, unpicking is support to do that extra laundry load. Is that support for mum or is that support for the disabled child? There's only so much that unpicking that when we've got real interdependencies in the well-being of families and the disabled people who are part of those families. There's only so far that we want to try and unpick that. So right now that's integrated into the template. We'll see where it gets to later. But if you're looking for where is the carer's assessment component, those are deliberately parts of the planning layer of questions in OBEAR to support explicitly holding space for how we support in a well-balanced way those that contribute to the lives of disabled people as well. So there's a plan layer. And look, as we say, there are variations in the planning questions by life stage. We'll do some bits on each life stage to talk about why these particular questions and what are they trying to get to. The next layer of questions are sort of what we might call the impact questions. They're the questions that are trying to get into what does this mean on a day-to-day, what does disability mean on a day-to-day basis? So it's not necessarily at the level of what is the specific functional impairment, to use that term. Often what these questions are trying to get into are, they are day-to-day sort of social impacts. How much time, more time might that take? What's the range of people available to us? What's the range of opportunities that actually we encounter some challenges in taking? So because this is all trying to feed to an indicative range, which is an amount, these impact questions are often in the sort of the how much, the quantifying space, rather than the how well do we are we supported? How well are we supported is also important. We're not trying to take away from that. Or how well are we currently managing those things? That's also important. I'm not trying to take away from that. But these impact questions are generally in the how much space, because they're trying to feed something that sort of goes, are we talking about a half an hour or an hour or of, you know, time that we might need to support with another person or an item that can support that time? Or are we talking about a level of respite to go forth from there? So that the impact questions are generally in that space of what does that mean for my ability to do things? What sort of impact on my time is available there? What sort of impact on the range of opportunities that I can take with it, you know, comfortably are there? What does that mean for the range of people that are available to me or that are confident to provide support to our child sometimes? They're all sort of how much, what range, those sorts of questions. They're trying to get a sense of the social impacts, the social barriers, and a social model that people are encountering from disability. And we're trying to get a bit of a sense of, you could express it as time poverty. I'm not sure I want to use that term, but what's the time that's lost through our week? What are some of the opportunities that might not be available? Or that are, right? It's a 5-point spectrum, and it's perfectly okay to be positive about those. We ask those impact questions twice. We ask them with support and independently of support. And there's a couple of very good reasons for that. If we ask that question once, you enter the system, you say, gee, I can only sometimes or I can almost never get through our routines and still have time for other things that are important to us. And then we put support in, then we come and see you a year later and you go, you know what? Actually, we've gone from never to sometimes or usually. And we go, that's great. Put that in the indicative range. The range goes down. The support comes out. Then we see you in probably 6 weeks later rather than 6 months later. And you go, we're back to never. So we go, oh, great. We better put that in. The range goes up. The support goes back in. And then we go on a roller coaster. To get off of the roller coaster, to avoid the roller coaster, we're asking about what does life look like independently of support? That is the main question the indicative range is going to respond to when it comes to quantifying what is that range. We want to understand with support as well, though, because one of the things that our community tells us they don't like about the experience of assessment is we've always got to tell you about our worst day, our worst experiences. There's got to be space in this process to hold space to say, but we're making progress, but we're achieving things, but good things are happening. Our lives aren't inherently miserable or any of those sorts of things. We have aspirations and we're making progress, and what we're doing makes a difference towards that. So the with support questions are holding space to be able to say, this is what life feels like right now in the presence of support as well. And to distinguish what we're achieving and what we're doing and how that's going and how we might feel from, yeah, but on days when the support worker doesn't show up, or when we haven't been able to organize that, or gee, there's a gap in our staffing or whatever, life would always also look like this. Please don't put us on that roller coaster. It does make for more questions. We acknowledge that. If we can find a smarter way to do that, we'll try. Right now, though, we're trying to understand the impacts on people's day-to-day life independently of support and where we sit with support. This is also where there is an interest in saying, given that we're collecting so much information about somebody, how can we use that to understand better who the system is working well for, when is it working well, all those sorts of good things. That's well down the track, but that's also part of moving to an impact-based approach. Some of those questions are also phrased in a safeguarding way. they were asking about, yeah, probably particularly kinds of risks, how often those might occur, when those might occur, what does that look like? So, for example, I sometimes, often, never explore beyond where you might expect me to be or get into somewhere unsafe. If we're describing through those impacts what life ordinarily looks like, we're also aware that in taking into account what the appropriate level of support is, sometimes we've also got to recognise there can be a level of unpredictability. The average day is not every day. How do we take account of the unpredictable, or the less predictable, sorry, in this process? So there are a few questions there. To be honest, those questions are also trying to help us understand if the indicative range is what we usually do, and it might cover sort of 90% of people, how do we understand whether the person we're doing this with might be in the 10% of people that are sitting well above that? So some of these questions about, hey, yeah, on a good day, it looks like, yeah, the impacts might usually look like this, but actually once a week, once a fortnight, more regularly than that, you'll let us know. Things look very different and look much more challenging, and we need to be aware of that and prepared for that. Those questions are helping us understand, are we within that usual sort of 90% of people, or are we now starting to go, hey, there are some particular things here that are less common, less usual for this life stage, respectfully, and where the level of support we're talking about is probably going beyond the usual or the 90% that we might be usually expecting to respond to. It's really important that we get that right. No one's going to thank us for going, here's a very usual sort of range for a very exceptional situation. And that's part of why those questions are a wee bit intensive. But along with this is the impact, this is how things usually look or generally look, we've also got to be open to there is a level of some things that can happen less predictably, and we have to factor that into account overall as well. Finally, there's another layer of questions that we've called, it's important that you know. And these are the yes-no questions, folks. The most common question we get asked, or that I get asked when we talk about impacts, is, but how do you know? How do you know that that is disability related? It's important that you know questions have come out of two sorts of ideas. One is that at the end of the day, the criteria for whether somebody is DSS eligible is our basis for treating one group of New Zealanders differently than others. If we're talking about impacts, and then being disability related, there has to be an ability to draw a link back between the impact we're describing and the matters that make somebody eligible. And the it's important that you know questions support us to collect some data so that we can provide confidence that there is a correlation here between the presence of some of those things and higher or lower impacts, so that we can say it's reasonable that these judgments are being made to say these impacts are disability related. There is no scientific or clinical test for the presence of a social barrier. You are always, as practitioners, having to exercise your best judgment about, is it reasonable to attribute this part of life or this impact on life to the matters that make this person eligible? It's important that you know are an intermediate step that support us to keep telling a story about there is a relationship here between our mandate as disability support services and the impacts we're responding to. That's sort of our back office reason for it. Front facing, a few of us have had that experience of working with disabled people who say, all this aspirational stuff is lovely. Thanks very much for that. And these spectrums and these broad questions, they're great too. But it's important that you know none of this is happening if two people don't show up in the morning to help me get out of bed. Right? It's important that you know. As much as we are trying to enhance the experience for people, parts of our community will genuinely say, that's great, I like that. But I need you to come out of this process knowing that this fact is very important to me and that my day-to-day life really depends on that. It's important that you know. So to the degree that we can, we've tried to slim down the sort of the 84 functional impairments that were in Socrates down to a group of about 14 to thin that data set up. But also to try and keep capturing this idea that as well as these general spectrums that we want to try and understand of general levels of impact, sometimes there are things that people are going to say, it's important you know, I need to say you tick yes or no to that, I need to know that you understand that this whole plan is dependent on some of these sorts of things. And we have to have space to capture that. We have to be responsive to that. Have we got the right list? We've got a starting list there, and we'll keep working with the sector on, is this quite the right list? I'm sure that we'll pick up some things through narrative and other review that goes, okay, there's a couple of things that need to be reframed or aren't quite right or maybe are missing. But as a starting point for to support us both to provide confidence that the impacts that we're capturing are related to the reasons this person's eligible, and to create space to go, hey, there are some quite important things here that might relate to very particular kinds of support requirements. We're going, we do need to make sure that that isn't obscured through using spectrums and 5-point scales. We need to be able to call that out quite clearly if that's really important to somebody. If it's not important that you know, it probably won't come up in conversation, right? So the intention is not that we sit there and work our way through the list, ticking and crossing each of those things. Right, we come back to the tool, filling that out is not the process of how we engage. But this last layer there, yes, we've got an interest in a back office sort of way and saying, how do we make sure there's a good link and a good story to tell to provide confidence to people that the impacts we're responding to and that we're funding for relate to disability. But there's also genuinely a part of the experience here as well around going, how do we make sure that we are capturing in the narrative, but also in the data, excuse me, that we understand these things are important to the person and that we continue to reflect them. So those are the three layers of questions. They work together to try and get a pretty good picture of who is this person, what are they seeking to achieve, how might we go about that. There's some of them are quite deliberate to set you up well for a conversation about the My DSS funding plan. They're not limited just to what DSS funds. You might capture a number of things through the planning conversation that are about, actually, we can support that through the community. This is about strengths in our broader whānau or in our community networks that we can draw on. It's not meant to direct you straight to DSS funding. There's a level of impact there. We were trying to create space to reflect on where are we at now, with and without support. Hopefully, the process of review, or to use that term, reassessment, creates space to reflect on what have we achieved, to build our sense of agency that we have done things and we have made progress and we are in control of our lives, and that we are, and that the way that we're going about using these supports supports us to be more in control of our lives. And there are some things that we need to call out along the way as well, around it's actually important that we know specifically that that's present, both to support us to tell a good story about what we're responding to is linked to our mandate, but also to make sure that where those things are crucially important to the person and the safety of their support, that those are captured quite clearly, quite explicitly. And as we go through this process of leaning together, we'll try and keep refining that and try to understand that.